We have two loose ends we want to wrap up from yesterday. To wrap in order to leave the sugya with a neat bow. You remember yesterday we developed a number of important yisodos. We developed the idea that bialos is something that we can think about analytically as Ramdan, number one. And that bialos, when considered analytically, really consists of many different aspects. To be an owner over a particular item carries with it a host of rights and a host of responsibilities. Number one. And we give a lot of examples. Number two, we always knew even beforehand that people can share ownership of a single asset. We knew from beforehand that there could be shutfus, but in the past perhaps we thought about shutfus as being a quantitative thing. 50-50, 80-20. And now we're introduced to the idea, and as we discovered, it's actually rooted, among other places, in Gittin, Dafman Beis, Dafman Gimel, that you can also have a qualitative partitioning of ownership on an asset. Rather than I own 50%, you own 50%, I own 10%, you own 90%, it could also be that I own the Eved with respect to Knas, and you own the Eved with respect to everything else. And that was the idea of Deka Leperos of an Eved Leknas, and so on and so forth. We saw that that came from the Gemara. The Gemara is trying to figure out how far you can push it. But the Gemara talks about Gittin Mem Beis Mem Gimel, as well as in Bava Basra, Kufrim Zayin, as well as that the language Deka Leperos of a somewhat different context, it appears in Ksuba Sayin Tes. And we said Tosos, the Unzer Masechta, Tosos and Gittin, Daf Mem Beis, Mem Beis, talks explicitly about Deka Leperos of in this sense. That again, it's Rashi in Bav Metzia Yudalit Hazvav talks about the notion of Aroy Ashbach. One aspect of ownership is they automatically own the appreciation or the fruits, the product, without any further kinyan. So I can sell you ownership in my Dekel only with respect to Aroy Ashbach. Dekel also, that can have been a practical, halachically viable solution to a commercial problem. The commercial problem is, how do I sell Peiros Dekel? How do I sell Akiva this coming summer's pear crop? He doesn't want to buy my trees. I don't want to sell him my trees. But he wants to buy the crop. So if we have like Reb Meir and the other Tanam Amram, well, that Davar Shalabala Olam is Nitan Lakinyan. If we have like Reb Meir and Reb Huna and the others, that Peiros Dekel is not so intangible. It's not the color blue. It's not the brotherhood. It's not even the Knas of the Eved, which may never happen. It's Davar Shalabala Olam. It's Avid also is likely to come up. And it's cyclical. So Reb Meir Huna would say, I could sell Akiva Peiros Dekel. But Chum would say, you cannot sell Peiros Dekel, but you can sell Dekel with Peiros. The tree is an already existing tangible asset. I can sell you a tree. I can sell you a tree fully. I can sell you a tree partially in the sense of I'll sell you 50% or 10% or 90%. A quantitative split, or I can sell you the tree with a qualitative split. It sells you partially in the sense of, I will sell you ownership only legabe aroy ashbach. I'll say the dekel only respect to peiros. I'm selling you an existing asset. That's not a problem of davar shalobo le'olam. By the way, I probably could do it the other way around also. I could sell you the tree except for peiros. Let's say you want to buy my Akiva only wanted to buy next year's crop. But let's say Gavriel wants to buy my orchard outright. So I could, but I'm not ready to sell the orchard just yet because I think that this coming year's summer is going to be a bumper crop for pears. So I'm glad to sell my orchard, but I still want this coming summer's harvest. So one thing we could do is Gavriel say, okay, let's negotiate after the summer. But that might not be a great idea. Maybe I may be scared that he's going to lose his interest. He may be scared I'm going to lose my interest. Or he's traveling or I'm traveling. Do I do the deal now? So I could sell Gavriel the trees except Lupe Rosa. I'll sell everything else about the tree except that Rai Ashbach of the coming summer. We could do that also. I could sell you 90%. I could sell you 10%. Quantitatively, qualitatively, it's all on the table. With that, you understand Shibun Nechasim. That Rabbi Schechter explains the Ritva, the Nesivas, the Rambam, that Shibun Nechasim is a kinyan, and specifically a kinyan lachat so'in. It's a partial kinyan. What do you mean it's a kinyan? You mean when I lent money to Elisha, so I took a partial stake in his land. What type of partial stake that allowed him to continue to farm it, allowed him to sell to Tzvi, and allows Tzvi to use it and farm it and pass it on, unless Elisha defaults on the loan, no one will ever feel the impact of my ownership. So what does that mean? So I said yesterday, it's like a decala peirosa. I have a slice of his karka. What slice of bilus? What slice of bios with respect to Gevir? And if we understand that, then we can understand also, we said yesterday, the machlokas in our Gemara between Rashi, two Lushanos and Rashi, and by the way, between Tosis on here and Dav Gimel versus Tosis and Dav Chav. Tosis Dav Gimel likes the second Lushan Rashi, that Edem Esir Akarasi applies to Shtari Chav. That there is a Shibu Nachasim if there was a Shtar Chav, even though it wasn't signed. And Tosis Dav Chav assumes like the first Lashon in Rashi, that Shtar Chov is not a Shtar Kinyan, Shtar Chov is purely just a Shtar Raya, and when we say you need a Shtar Chov in order to have a Shibu Nechastin, that means you have to have a signed Shtar Chov. Reb Lazar Meir is irrelevant because it's a Shtar Raya. What's an argument about? So that's what we said yesterday, it all comes together, Eir HaShechter presents from the Rav and Simen Chav Gimel Eretz HaTzvi, then more on his own, Simen Chav Bez Eretz HaTzvi, that the machlokes is, well, if there's a partial kinyan, what's the maisa kinyan? We know when the kinyan happened, between whom, and what the object that was transferred was. It happened at the time of the halva, it was the karka that was partially transferred from Elisha the Lova to me, the malva, but by power of what maisa kinyan. So that's the machlokes. Either it's shtar, you have a shtar, so the shtar chov is not only serving as a shtar raya to prove that the chov occurred, but it's a shtar kinyan to transfer partial ownership of the real estate from the lova to the malva. That's a shtar kinyan. That's the second shita in Rashi. That's the shita of Tosfos Dav Gimel. It's a shtar kinyan. So according to Belozer, a shtar kinyan can work without Edim. Edim is Sira Karsin. The first day in Rashi, which holds a shtar chov, is only a shtar raya, and that's what Tosfos Dav Chav says in a somewhat different context. Shtar Chov is only a Shtar Raya. Tos is there, the very bottom of Chav on Beis, has a different afghanitin, Shtar King and Shtar Raya. Not whether you need Edim, but whether you need to own it. The Gemara there seems to say that if you give a Shtar King, it has to, in order for the King to work, the paper itself has to become property of the one who's gained it. The Ksos has a more complicated approach to how Nisina Saget works, but that's the Pashas of the Gemara there, and the Taisus there. That if it's a Shtar Kinyan, then it only works when not just you're holding it, but you're actually Kona the paper. You're Kona the parchment. So Tosfos makes a comment there, but of course this is irrelevant to Shtar Chov, because that's only a Shtar Raya. And Tosfos has to reinterpret a little bit at the bottom of Gittin Daf Chav on the base. For your reference, you can take a look later, that Tosfos is, I believe, the last Tosfos on Chav on the base. That's the one I've been quoting over the last few months. The bottom of Chaf on the days. Dibra Maschel Vichosev. Vichosev excited the bottom toast of Chaf on the days. But that toast clearly assumes that Shtar Chov is a Shtar Raya exclusively. And that Reshefta points out is aligned with the first day in Rashi here in Gittin Gimel Beis. Whereas our toast, Gittin Gimel Beis, is aligned with the second day. The machlek is by two lashonos and Rashi. Machlek is by a tais between Dav Gilin Beis, Dav Chafin Beis. And again, machlok is over. Is a shtar chov only a shtar raya or even a shtar kinyan? Which another way to say that is the kin ma'isa kinyan on the shibud, the giving of the money, or the ma'isa kinyan on the shibud, the giving of the shtar? Okay, ad kan. What we spoke about two hanging threads we want to tie up. The first one is to explain the second last point a little bit. The second one is to explain the last point a little bit. The first one is to explain a little bit more of what we mean that the shibud is a partial kinyan. It's a kinyan legave gvia. And the second is to explain a little more of how this works, that there could be a machlokas, whether that there could be a possibility that the shtar is actually the kinyan. So let's go step by step. First, just to understand the core idea, Shibud is a kinyan l'chatzah, and specifically it's like a dekel l'perosam. I'm selling one aspect of ownership. So I'm very grateful to Yisrael David. After Shir, we spoke, he mitamidios and mikulam. He had a very strong kasha, and we mevar the in together. Just to unpack a little bit more, what do you mean that I'm selling you? I understand that I sell you the tree with respect to owning the fruit, or that I sell you the eved with respect to being the recipient of the knas should it come, because those are aspects of ownership. Usually, the owner of a tree automatically owns the fruit. That's the din of aroy ashvach, bavin tziyu dalat hazvav. Normally, the owner of an eved, should rachman al-tzalan, the eved be killed by a marauding animal, so the adon of the eved receives the knas. That's pesukim v'chumash, the pasuk v'shpachim. But you saw David pointing that correctly. What do you mean? What do you mean that Elisha gave me ownership of the karka legabe gevia? Did he used to own it legabe gevia? What does that even mean? When you own your karka, so you don't owe yourself money. If I owe myself money, then I will pay myself with the karka. What does it even mean? What do you mean? It has to be that Elisha used to own the karka, even legabe gevia, and then he sold that aspect of the karka to me, and then when he sold the karka subsequently to Tzvi, it was everything except the one slice he already gave to me. So the chari means the following. Yeah.
Why can't you say that it's initially you have any owner has the right to his property forever if no one else buys it, and I'm giving him the less ownership that I have of this property in a year, which is usually not right.
Yeah, see, it's a little tricky though, because you don't want, the easiest way to have said this would be to say that Elisha, we know that you can be machna something la'achar zman, certain kinyanim, depends on the ma'isa kinyan, at least in principle, I could do ma'isa kinyan now to be chal in a year from now. Or I could do ma'isa kinyan ala tonight. So the easy way to have said it is that kinyan chatzon just means that Elisha was machna the character to me, if and when he defaults alone, it should become mine then. But the problem is that if so, then it turns out that Tzvi bought it first, because my kinyan is only chal Bishah's default.
Elisha, before he sold it, had the right to his land in a year.
So what does that mean? That right now I own my karka legabe now legabe year? Maybe. So let me give you an alternative. Let me give you an alternative. You can think about it. Maybe a different way to say, instead of saying he sold me legabe gevia, we to say he sold me legabe peiro, legabe payback, which means the following. Leave out Shibud Chasim for a moment. I say this is Shibud Agov. It's a Milva Baal Peh. Elisha borrowed $1,000 from me, ate them watching, there was no Shvach. Sure. So he has a Shibud Agov. I come to him a year from now, I say, Bubula, you owe me the money, Tachas, where's my $1,000? So what's he going to do? So he might, and let's say he's a cooperative fellow. He's not, again, I said, sometimes these things become adversarial. Let's talk a case where the Lob is very cooperative and he wants to make it work. He's an honest fellow. He wants to pay back the money. So he says, sure, you talk. Thank you for reminding me. Okay. So he may reach into his wallet or reach into his bank account, pull out $1,000, and pay me. Or write me a check, which is just another way of reaching into your bank account, and pay me. Or he might say, Gavalt, I actually don't have $1,000. Or let's give the example we've been given to $1,000,000. I lent him $1,000,000. The loan comes due. He says, Gavalt, I don't have $1,000,000 liquid. I do owe you the money. You know what? I guess I'm going to have to sell some of my assets. I have investments in stocks. I have an extra car. I have some artwork. I'll sell it and I'll put together the cash. Give me a few days. Give me a few weeks, and I'll put together the cash. That's what an honest lover would do. If he doesn't have liquid cash to pay, he'll say, "Give me a few minutes. Give me a few days. Give me a few weeks. Whatever it is, let me sell off some assets. I'll liquidate them. I'll turn them into cash. I'll pay." So one aspect of ownership is that if I own my chafatzim, I can, among, as we said, one of the most basic aspects of ownership when we got started with this is I have the right to use my things, and I have the right to borrow anyone else from using my things. I have the right to sell my things. Specifically, I have the right to use my own assets for payment, for satisfaction of my obligations. I have the right, it seems sort of self-explanatory, I have the right to liquidate my assets to sell off. If I own a car, if I own a house, I have the right to sell it as the owner in order to pay up my own obligations. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's sort of obvious. I own it legabe peron. I can use, not only can I use my house to live in, not only can I use my car to drive in, I can also use my car to pay a debt because I own my car. I have the right to use my car, either to give my car to my creditor. The bank comes out and say, here, take my car. Or say, hold on 1 minute, hold on a week, let me sell the car, I'll give you cash. Part of bailus is I own things legabe peron. It's not like I'm only allowed to use my car for driving. No, I can use my car for whatever I want to. I can use my car for driving. I can use my car to store stuff. I can use my car because we need lighting at night, and I'll turn on the high beams to illuminate a campsite. Or I can use my car to pay a debt. I own my all of my chafatzim, karka amatal, and I own them legabe peron. I can use them to porea my chavos. Elisha, the lova, owned his karka legabe, his ability to use his karka to pay his debts to me or to whoever. So lechora, I think, that's what we hammered out yesterday, we could talk about some more, it could be the smoothest way is to say, the lova Elisha owned his karka legabe, the ability among a thousand other things to use to pay whatever debts he might incur. So he sold, when I lent him money, if I lent him money b'shtar, there's a shibud, so then, not only did he take on a personal obligation, he also transferred partial ownership of his karka to me. Which part of the ownership? The ownership legabe gvia. Up until now, he owned his karka, among other things, legabe, the capacity to use that land to pay his debts to me. Now I own his land with respect to still paying Elisha's debts to me. I can't use his karka to pay my debts to someone else necessarily, but I can use, he used to own his karka, legabe, paying his debts to me. Now I own his karka, legabe, paying his debts to me. Now it's our karka. That piece of land now belongs to me only with respect to its ability to pay me. To pay me for the debt that Elisha has to me. So that's why it's, with respect to everything else, I have no stake. And Svi is going to buy the, Elisha's going to farm the karka and he's going to grow fruit and he's going to eat the fruit and they're his fruit. And if Svi buys it, it's his. And only, I can't walk into Tzvi's house. It's his house. Tzvi rents out the property, he gets the money. Unless Elisha's loan comes due and Elisha can't pay. So now Elisha used to own this karka, legabe, the ability to pay me. Let's say even I was never on the scene, but he had sold the karka to Tzvi, but said, I'm leaving behind one thing, not legabe peros, but I'm leaving behind my ability to use the karka to pay my debts. So that would mean it's Tzvi's house, but if Elisha's ever stuck in a hole, Elisha takes the karka and pays the debt, and Tzvi is done. Because it was already sold beforehand, because Tzvi never got that ownership. That one aspect of ownership, Elisha held on to. Elisha could have been Meshire for himself in selling the karka to Tzvi. He could have been Meshire for himself, that one aspect of bailus that I can still use it to pay own. You get to use it to live in, you get to use it to farm, you get to sell it, and you get to rent it out, but I get to use it should Peron come up, just like Elisha could have held on to an Eved on Legabe Knas. The Eved is yours from now on, but if there's ever a Knas, I get the Knas. You can be Meshire one aspect for yourself. Elisha could have been Meshire the Bailus Legabe Peron for himself. He didn't want Meshire for himself, instead he already sold it to me. He already sold me that one slice, Legabe Peron Achol. Everything else he either holds on to for himself or subsequently sells to Tzvi. I believe that's the best way to be Magdir, to formulate accurately. That's what we came up with. Chora, it is a kinyan from right now. It's not a kinyan later. It's not being chal later. The kinyan ma'ash from right now. That one ability that the owner has to use a karka to pay a debt, that's what he held on to, or even more, handed to me. And then subsequently, he held on to rest of karka himself. He sold to someone else. It goes to, if a lova has it, goes to Yarshim. Whatever, wherever the karka ends up going, that one slice, the use of the karka to pay the lova's debts to the malva, that one slice never goes, the lova doesn't hold on to, he can't sell it to anyone else, he can't be moshed to anyone else. That one slice of ownership stays with the malva. So if ever Elisha really needs the karka to pay me, well, I already own that aspect of it. Legabe paying me. And now I have it. And that's one piece that you never got your hands on, the lekuchos. And that's, I believe that's how it works. Again, that, I said there are two hanging threads. That's the first hanging thread. To understand more fully, we have this concept that we hammered out yesterday of a deca leperosa, a qualitative slice of the ownership that I could sell you one aspect of vials, or I could sell you everything except for one aspect of vials. So now we hopefully clarify, define more carefully what is the aspect of bailus that the malva is being mocked to the lova when you create a shibun nechasim. It is the fact that normally an owner owns his things also legabe using them for a period of nechot. And that's why, again, the Rami even had said, Rami looked at yesterday, yud ches beis and malva lova, in theory it could be for metaltim also. You just have to figure out how to be mocked it properly. You mock the metal, to mock up the car. Because, again, the original owner could have used his bike or his artwork or his car or his furniture to pay off his debts. When Shibun Haguf used both metal and karka. So usually, Shibun Haguf is only on karka, but it's conceivable even by metal. So that was, again, point number one. And now, point number two. So how does this, now that we have a sense of, there's a partial key, that's where Shibun is, and again, I took, when we did the halvah, so I somehow took a stake in, I took a chelik in Elisha's karkaos. I, the malva, took a chelik in the lova's karkaos. So question, okay, so now we define what that stake is. The other question is, and how did it transfer? He said, look, this is what the Rav pointed out in Shirim, the chapter amplifies, that the machlokes Rashi, Tulshan's Rashi Dav Gimel, machlokes Tosas Dav Gimel, Tosas Dav Chav, is the machlokes, is it Kinyan Kesef or Kinyan Shtar? Okay, now, just to think about that a little bit more, that's neat and smooth, just to think about it a little bit more, remember Rabba and Ula? Ula and Rabba? Remember Bava Basra Kufay Name Biz? Right. So if you say that Shibu Delav Daraisa, I mean, at Torah, there ain't no such thing as Shibu Nechasim at all. And the whole Shibu Nechasim is invention of Rabbanan, only in what case? When there is a shtar. So then it's very easy to say, and what's the king, Yemaisa king, that makes the shibud happen? The shtar. Could be the shtar, it could be the kesef, it could be the shtar, it could be the what. However, if you say shibuda di oraisa, that means min haTorah shibud exists even by milva bal peh. There's no shtar. So then the chor, if you say shibud di oraisa, you have to say that there is no shtar necessarily. It must be the kesef. And that indeed led the Shiva Sion. So I have to quote in both Shtiklach, the Shiva Sion to say, the two Lashonos in Rashi, or the Machlokas, whether the king is Kesef or Shtar, is the Machlokas, whether Shibu Daraisa or Daraisa. Is the Shibu Daraisa? So then really, you can have Min HaTorah, you can have a Shibu without a Shtar. The need for Shtar is just a technical call up, say the Lakuchas. Fundamentally, you could have had a shibud without a shtar. So obviously, the king is not the shtar, the kesef. If you say shibud alav deraisa, then I told you there's no such thing as shibud. The whole shibud nechasim is invented. The shibud nechasim, but the whole shibud nechasim is all invented by Rabbanan. So to begin with, there was never such a thing as shibud nechasim except with a shtar. So then Shiva Sion says, then you can say that the king is the shtar. Pretty neat and clean, assuming that everyone's psak lines up, which, as you mentioned, is a little complicated. I mentioned a couple of days, there's a shachet, long list of rishonim on both sides. Who passes shibud deraisa, who passes shibud lav deraisa. So you could say, here's an afkamina, lamai nafkamina, maybe here's an afkamina. Maybe that's what Shiva Sion says, you know what an afkamina is? Nafkamina is, how does it work? Shibud deraisa, so obviously it's not powered by the shtar, powered by the matan kesef. You draw a button, you need a shtar also. That shtar is clearly a shtar rod. Shiva Sion says, the shibud alav deraisa, the whole shibud only exists, only ever existed in the context of shtar. So then it's possible that the way Chazal created the shibud nechasim is that the shtar is the kinyan. That's what the Shiva Sion said. It's very, very neat. You just have to see if Taket lines up. That the two lashars, the two Tosas and two lashars and Rashi, everything lines up to hold the shibud alav deraisa. Rashi has to point out that the Rav thought that one need not say that in either direction. Number one, obviously, even if you hold that Shibud Alav Daraisa, even if you hold that Reis, even if you hold that the whole Shibud to begin with only exists Midrabanan, and only in the context, only ever exists in the context of Shtar, you don't have to say the Shtar is a Kenyan. You could say the Shtar is a Kenyan. You could also say no. They only invented it by Shtar because they have Kala, but the way they made it work is a Kenyan Kesef. Okay. The Rav also suggested that there's no Tzliya the other way either. Hayitachin, what do you mean? Shibud Daraisa. When Atari Moshe comes down from Sinai, so it complements it with Rabban. Moshe comes down from Sinai, and he tells a according you hold Shibud Daraisa according to Ula, I believe. Moshe comes down from Sinai, says Rabbi Isai, Shibud Nechasim, Shibud Nechasim. Well, middle of the pad, middle of the star, it's all the same. Shibud Nechasim. And then some number of centuries later, Chazal limited to only the star. So then, what do you mean? How can you say that the king is the star? So what you could say, is the following. Clearly, min ha-Torah, the king is not the star. It doesn't have to be a star at all. The question is, when Chazal masakin, from this point on, there's no longer Shibud Nechasim on the Milva Balpeh, what did they do? Did they just say, we're limiting the din a little bit? Or did they say, we're restructuring the whole din? Did they say Shibud Nechasim always existed, Shibud Daraisa on all Havos, the Kinyan was always the Matan Maos, and it remains the Matan Maos? Now, for us, we're adding a new detail that Midrabanan, if there's no Shtar Raya, we're yanking the Shibud Nechasim. Was it Chazal just pulled the plug on it partially? Or no? Chazal said, we're redoing the whole thing from the ground up. There was a Din Daraisa Shibud Nechasim, and that was based on Matan Maos. We're going to scrap that. Because there's too much concern of Pseid Lukuchus. And Midrabanan, we're now creating a new Shibud Nechasim Midrabanan. Based on the Shtar. That's why it's sort of, one can think of it either way. So once again, it definitely seems simpler to say, like the Shiva Tzion, that if you say Shibud Daraisa, obviously the Kenyan, the Shibud exists in the Torah with or without a Shtar. So the Kenyan must be the Kesef. That's like the first lashon in Rashi. Shtar Chov is only a Shtar Raya. The Rav suggested maybe that was true in Atar, but maybe Drabanan, when Chazal made the Takan Drabanan, here's the Mishnah, maybe they changed it in each Shibud Nechasim from being Tali on the Kesef to being Tali on the Shtar. And certainly, if you say Shibuda love the Raisa, that there's no such thing as Shibud Nechasim at all in Torah. The whole concept of Shibud Nechasim is a creation, Midrabanan, and they only created ever. It only ever exists in the concept of Shtar, then it's certainly very easy to say, like the second Lashon Rashi, like Tosfos Dav Gimel, that it only exists in the context of Shtar because the whole invention of Daban of Shibud Nechasim was a Kenyan accomplished through the Shtar Chov. Or one could say no. Chazal invented a new thing, that the Matan Maos is Makna the Kaka, but only B'tanai that there is a Shtar Raya. So again, let's just recap the two threads we discussed. We discussed the overall nature of Shibud Nechasim as being a partial king, specifically a qualitative slice of bias, a type of Dekel HaPeirosov. So we tried to get a little more precise in terms of what that, defining what that is, understanding that it is an aspect of the Lova's original ownership of his own karkos. He did owe them legabe, using them as a vehicle for peron of his debts, and he could have sold that, given that to me. That's one aspect. And the other aspect we clarified was the Rav's mahalach that the two days in Rashi, Gittin, Gimel, Beis, the machlok is places daf chafen beis, daf gimel beis, that machlok is over whether Shtar Chov is subject to Eide Mesira Karsi, Eide Chasimi Karsi. In other words, practically speaking, if you have a Shtar Chov that was not signed, does it drive Shibud Nechasim or not? The first Lashon Rashi says no. Second Lashon Rashi says yes. Tosfos Daf Chaf says no, or implies no. Tosfos Daf Gimel says yes. That Machlokas does seem to be Machlokas whether the Shtar Chov is serving the Shtar Kinyan or not, meaning is the Kinyan of the Shibud, a Kenyan Shtar, a Kenyan Kesef. And he pointed out, he added just now, that may or may not relate to the machlokas amaron, but shibu daraisa lav daraisa. Shiva Tzion thinks yes. It sounds like we have a machlok and nafkamin halacha amaisa. You say shibu daraisa clearly doesn't have to do the shtar. Shtar is merely a shtar raya, it's only the drabanah. But if you hold that shibu lav daraisa only ever exists in the concept of shtar, then the shtar is the kinyan. That's what Shiva Tzion suggested. And the Rav thought, maybe not. You could get out of it in either way. It's not mukhrach in either direction. But certainly there is a derech hamelech, the simplest way to say it certainly is that if shibur daraisa, according to Ula seems aligned with, or let's put the other way around, the first lashon in Rashi, and Tosos and Davchav, the shtar chov is merely a shtar raya, and the kinyan of shibud, it must therefore be the kesef, that seems to be aligned with Ula, that shibuda daraisa, Ula and Bavabasa kufan anabes, while the second lashon in Rashi, and Tosos and Dav Gimel, who say the shtar chov is subject to Eid Mesira Karsi, because shtar chov, that means, is the kinyan. I mean, the kinyan of the shibud is not the kesef, it's the shtar, that does seem to fit more easily with Rabba, who says that shibuda lav daraisa, and from the outset, from the inception, shibud nechasim only ever existed, as it does today, in the context of shtar, and the kinyan, therefore, is likely to be the shtar. So that wraps up this sugya. I am more than glad to take questions downstairs in the Beis Medrash. We are going to spend the rest of the morning with Shem in the Beis Medrash.